Hey, everybody, if you have a chance, this is Scooter, and you can go over to iTunes and review the show. It's sleepwithmepodcast.com/iTunes. And it's a big help, and just, you know, when other people find the podcast, maybe they see what you wrote about the show and they can relate to it, and then they decide to listen. Or they say, well, geez, maybe this isn't the podcast for me, and we save them some time. So either way, it works, and I really appreciate it. So, and you know, if I feel down, I say, well, let me read some nice reviews, and you guys pump me up. So that's it. If you have a chance to leave us a review on iTunes, that's great. Thanks so much, and let's get on to the show. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble falling asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that's here to put you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to create a safe place where you can set aside whatever's running through your brain, whatever's racing, whatever thoughts, feelings, or bodily sensations have got you up tossing and turning. I'm going to try to distract you from those things. And the way I'm going to do it is I'm going to reach my hand and my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to try to use lulling, soothing tones, pointless meanders, unresolved metaphors, pregnant pauses, and stuff like that. A lot of silly stuff to give you something to listen to, but you don't have to grasp tightly around what I'm saying. You say, well, geez, okay, this is just a friendly person here, chitter-chattering, you know, just like I think I've used this, but like an old man at a bus stop. And you say, well, geez, he's clearly, you know, harmless. And it was a little bit off kilter or something. Now I guess usually I go into a long-winded metaphor here. Believe it or not, I realize that this is the opening for episode 300, which I recorded last night. And I'm recording the intro the night after, just because of the way my schedule works. And so I think we deserve just an introduction of reflection, because the show's a regular show, you know, not run of the mill. There's some odd stuff in there. I almost mix Katharine Hepburn up with somebody else, but I didn't. In the episode coming up, not a spoiler, because that would be if I did mix her up, but I didn't. I don't think. But some of you might be new here. I want to say welcome. Some of you might have started listening in the past 6 months to a year, and some of you might have been listening in almost 2 years since the show started. And I want to thank all of you for checking the show out. And you may have some questions, and I probably will make this, you know, I probably won't answer those questions. But I was thinking, huh, what questions, especially newer people might have, but even people that, but I want to cover, I really appreciate all the support I've gotten since we started the show, all the encouragement, all the interaction, all the friendliness. For a person, you know, and I know this might sound strange to people that, because I do this podcasting, I'd be silly, but I'm a really hardcore introvert. And so someone the other day used paradox. It's paradoxical or enigmatic or whatever. How I do this podcast, or I enjoy performing and being silly, and I don't get it at all. But maybe I don't need to understand, you know, all that stuff. But you might say, geez, some of you might be like, well, why'd you start the podcast? How did you start the podcast? And I'll just give you that brief story is that I have this idea of the podcast for a while. I said, geez, ever since the podcast, towards the beginning, if anybody who's following me on podcast day, I love podcasts. I've been listening for a long time. I can't be 100% positive that I listened on an MD player or whatever the hell those things were, but I'm pretty sure I did download podcasts. So before even, but not important, because I'm never an early adopter. I'm a second round adopter because I'm cheap or pragmatic or both. And I don't think that's a term, second round adopter, but So I say, and I've always loved telling stories. And one of the genesis of the podcast, which you've heard, is that I couldn't sleep. I had a lot of trouble sleeping as a kid. Another part of the podcast is that I shared a room. I come from, I'm the oldest of six kids. I shared a room with my brother. Sometimes we both have trouble sleeping, and we play this game, though he claims he doesn't remember this. So maybe I was just stupid, but I would make up boring stories, pointless stories. And I thought we were supposed to take turns, so maybe I got ripped off on this deal. But I'd say, yeah, oh, did I tell you about the candy machine today? Standing there, and I said, well, geez, how many red gumballs are in there? One, two. And then they said something over the speaker about the store. And then I went back to the red gumballs, and it just kind of boring stories like that. Or maybe they'd be silly and they'd say, geez, well, then I heard a squeaky squawk, you know, kind of exactly like the podcast, and not much improvement. And in some sense, improving over the imagination of a child is tough anyway. So I'm not knocking myself. And then as I got older, I didn't have, every once in a while, I'd say, hey, give me a couple words. I'll make up a story for you. You know, if we'd be sitting out at a picnic or the grass or something. This was every once in a while because it took a lot of courage or whatever it is to put myself out there like that. But I always love telling so silly stories. Just one of the things I enjoy doing. And my imagination, I don't know, it happens to be a place where people say, wait, what, that's going through your brain? Really? So I'd want to do this podcast, and I said, well, she said, that could be something I could do a podcast about. And then my brain bots, my internal critics, whatever you want to call it, said, that's a dumb, you know. And I said, yeah, that is a dumb idea. You're right, guys. I'll just forget about that. And, you know, I don't know how many people have done this, but then you say, well, she said, oh, and all those other ideas you got, little kids in my brain, they're bad ideas. I need to be an adult now and doing adult stuff. And I think I took that attitude. I was stuck in that thing where I was like, I don't know what the hell is I'm doing as an adult. And I don't know what the hell I want to do. But I guess I should turn my back on all this kid stuff. And maybe one day I could be a writer or I could do something creative. But for now, and that started a road of failed careers. Attempts. I was a PE teacher. That went pretty well, but that was a year volunteer program. Then I was a temp for a while, a different temp place. It's pretty good. I was pretty good at being a temp, but that's not, you know, obviously career-wise, that's not the best. Then I took up someone on a business opportunity to start my own furniture business, and that went spectacularly horribly. While I was doing that, I worked at a smoothie and coffee shop to pay the bills. I should have known right away I shouldn't have got into business, like sales, selling furniture and stuff, but I still stuck it out, I think, for either 6 or 8 years or 10 years. And I already knew right away that I wasn't, but I'm stubborn too. But that went bad, ended in bankruptcy. And then I worked for my friend's business, Fuzzy Dude, I think Incorporated was the name of their business. And they were a wholesaler of fuzzy dice that you'd hang in your car and iron-on patches and stickers. And I worked for them selling stuff and helping them at trade shows. And I'd say I wasn't that great at that either, but they were real nice and they kept me around. Then I said, I'm not good. You know, I almost put their business out of business too, I think, just because they were being nice to me, keeping me around as a job. Then I went and became an insect trapper, looking for invasive fruit flies for the state, well, for the county I live in, but as part of a California program. That's a job that I love, but again, I don't have any science background. And it wasn't really a good choice as far as it was a good job for someone like 10 years younger than me, or maybe 5 years. But anyway, I did that. And then I got into my current job where I work for a library system, helping out with some libraries. And all along the way, you know, I just never could find my way. And the whole time I had this, you know, say, geez, I'd like to be more creative. I'd like to do creative stuff. But I had trouble following through on it. And then I started after I, but then I was following through a little bit more on writing some stuff. And then I was writing some stuff with a couple other guys, and we got along pretty good, and we were writing some stuff together. But I'm a tough person to work with, let's just say that. And so that didn't work out. But right when that fell apart, I said, oh, I at least had the wisdom, because I had like at least learned how to set aside time and focus time to work on stuff outside of work. And at least when me and these other guys were like, okay, we're not going to write anymore together, it's not working. I said, well, geez, I could start that podcast. I have this time. Let's start this podcast to put people to sleep. And so I said, well, let's try it and see how it goes. That was a little under two years ago, coming up on 2 years. And I can't, and I'm sure I'll talk more about this on the show, but that's, I guess, what led to the podcast. And I think it's funny that it led to the podcast, because so much of what I think gets in the way for me falling asleep, but a lot of you that I hear from, it might not be the same thing, but it might be relatable, it might be feelings, it might be pain, or it might be painful thoughts or critical thoughts or mean thoughts you have about yourself, or just something picking away at you. And I had to get over that stuff to start the podcast, which is weird. I don't know. A lot of stuff is counterintuitive or hard to explain. But then I just kept following through on the podcast. I said, oh, geez, let's do see if we can do it once a week. And I said, well, if people are listening to this, and I said, we should do it twice a week. And then I said, well, geez, we should do it three times a week. And then eventually I found this rhythm with three shows a week that was sustainable. And I'm trying to figure out, you know, with the how to keep it sustainable, because, you know, I've been pushing really hard. But that's a whole other conversation. It's going well, figuring all that out. And again, it's about overcoming, I guess maybe self-destructive is too harsh a word. But you probably know what I mean. The same thing that says, hey, I'm going to keep you up all night worrying. Or just like, you'll never figure out how to get to sleep tonight. Whatever those voices are, you'll never figure. This podcast, I mean, I honestly, I've done this for 2 years. I have so many of you that are so supportive, but there's still a very powerful voice in my part of me that says, this is going to end horribly for you. It says, you know, almost every day, it says, hey, Scooter, sit down here. This podcast thing's going to be a disaster, man. You're screwed. What the hell are you doing? And I have to, you know, say, okay, well, I'm just going to do it again today. And then I guess you'll be here tomorrow, so we'll talk about this again tomorrow. Or, for, you know, whatever. I have to distract myself, I guess, maybe. I don't know, maybe that's what I do here. I have no idea. But I don't know. I think it's a useful, lulling, soothing tone. So hopefully this intro still up to put, otherwise I got some grade A boring stuff coming right up here, because I recorded it yesterday. So that's it. I mean, I hope they give you a little bit of insight. And if you're new, this podcast is different. It's out there. But I'm here trying my best, and I don't really know what I'm doing. I'm not a sleep expert. I'm not a scientist or a doctor. In some sense, you know, I'm someone that's kind of had a lot of missteps, had a lot of failures and screw-ups. Oh, boy, the screw-ups. But that's the substance, the cosmic stuff that makes up this podcast. I don't know. And not in some guru way, but, yeah, I'm taking my failures and I'm recycling them and making a failure pie that we can all enjoy. And not to degrade, I guess sometimes I get a little harsh about that kind of stuff, but I don't know. I'm fumbling my way through the dark, I guess is what I'm saying. And I guess the intention of this podcast is to say, hey, if you're fumbling or you're a little bit worried that you can't fall asleep, you know, maybe me fumbling my way through these stories, fumbling through the dark with a lighthearted, fun attitude, and that's what I have to do to get into the story place or whatever, story swamp, that's what I call it. I was just talking about this last week to somebody who said, this is where I come up with my ideas, story swamp, go in there, there's some muck in there. I say, well, geez, what's that, a little, was all swamp juice. I'll take it back for the podcast, this, you know. So I take you, but to get into the story swamp, I can't be all bent out of shape about being perfect or the best podcaster ever or super impressive or super funny or anything. I just got to do my best and try to stay calm and not let that freaking asshole in my brain pound the shit out of me about, you know, what a fool I am or whatever it is. Whatever it is for you, and I'm sorry, I don't mean to get things stirred up here, I just get a little fired up there, but whatever it is for you, the main thing coming up here is I just want you to distract you, and you say, well, geez, this isn't bad. You know, kind of like a fan that is mildly, you say, well, geez, fan noise is too boring, and, you know, Ira Glass or Roman Mars, or, you know, any of those guys, those are too interesting. Scooter's right in the sweet spot between a fan and Roman Mars, that Scooter right there. Not as boring as a fan, but I can go to sleep, you know? And that's what I'm shooting for. And so, I don't know, that's an earful. But I'm glad you're here. The main message I want to get across to you is that I hope, I really want to help you fall asleep. And thanks for coming by. Okay, housekeeping. We're on the web, www.sleepwithmepodcast.com. You can find older episodes there. And most episodes will be on, if you subscribe in iTunes or in your favorite podcatcher, that's the best way to get everything. You can comment on the website. You can email me feedback at sleepwithmepodcast.com. You can post on our website, which I just said. You can also get a hold of me on Twitter at Dearest Scooter or on Facebook at Sleep With Me Podcast. Facebook and Twitter is when I post bloopers and sleep articles and, you know, try to promote, I guess, retweet stuff. I don't have as much time to do that kind of stuff, but I like to do it when I can. And those are great places to interact. But any place you like to interact, just let me know about it and I'll try to be there. Glad to hear what you have to say. I'd love to hear from you. So that's the social stuff. I've been trying to get back into periscoping or some kind of streaming video. So I'll be doing that erratically. Maybe, well, if past history serves, erratically, past history would say, I got to get used to doing it. I'm naturally uncomfortable in all situations. So I don't know if, so, but keep an eye on Periscope. That's like a streaming app. You can look at it on a computer or on an app. They have an Android and an Apple app. And you can also watch, just streams the video when I'm recording the podcast. So you could see, you could just talk to me as another way to interact, I guess, is the best thing, or ask me questions live or just watch what it's like recording the show. And I make a lot of weird faces when I'm recording the show naturally, and I kind of forget the camera's on. So that's, like, good, because I guess I look in, like, when I'm going into the story swamp, I look to the upper left or the upper right. So interesting stuff to some people. But, you know, if you got a question or something, that's another's place. And you can catch me on there erratically. Or it sends, you know, I tend to do all or nothing. So, you know, we'll see, but that's, keep an eye on that. And that'll be on Twitter or Facebook or the Periscope app would let you know when I start doing that. What else? Sleep to Strange, that's out Monday and Wednesday nights. So I'm getting a lot of nice support over there. Well, it doesn't have a website or anything. Just download the podcast. Business person would say, do some business stuff with it, but we'll figure, you know, it's there, so there's extra stuff for you. And for all my peeps that, you know, don't like the intros or, you know, you want more, you know, you say, geez, you're not boring enough, man, and bring more bore. And they said, well, I don't know, bores are so cute. And then a bore actually said to me, we've never been called cute in the history of the earth. Like, even Abraham said, ugh. You know, called us the sod of the seed of Beelzebub or Beelzebub. And I said, oh, you're so cute, boar. You and your bristly bristles. Oh, boar. So let's bores. What did that have to do with it? So Facebook Sleep to Strange. So just go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/strange or sleepwithmepodcast.com/strange Android, or just look for it in your podcast app. I want to thank our moderator. We have a Facebook group. It's over at sleepwithmepodcast.com/nods. I want to thank our moderators over there. Laura, Julie C, Rachel L to the G, Jennifer B, and Lie to Lie. I want to thank Scotty and Jennifer on our artwork. I want to thank Chris Posty Posterson from Sounds Like an Earful Podcast, who does our music. I want to say hi to Brian, and I want to formally extend apology to all of Windsor, Canada, for nodding when I was complimenting Canadians in Canada. I didn't include Windsor in there. And I would be remiss to say if that isn't one of my favorite Canadian places that I haven't been to yet. Makes me, oh, Canada, you know Windsor's so great. My friend Rick from high school used to go to your casinos. Oh, Canada, why don't you give Windsor more props? And, you know, so I love Windsor. Windsor, Ontario, it's where Canada's at. When people say, how can you get to Canada quick and in the nicest way, I'd say, take Detroit, go to Windsor, and say hello to Brian for me. I want to thank everyone that did show up on that Periscope today. It's Sunday. Everyone that was at the Periscope yesterday. I want to thank emails from Bob, Julie, Alexandra, Summer. Also for confusing Summer with a new listener. That was a mistake on Periscope. I want to thank Dawn, who's headed to Norway. I haven't had a chance to email Dawn about our good friend Betty in Norway, but maybe we'll make a connection between some listeners over there, and that they'll be in. Dawn will be there for the deep, dark night of Norway, Norwegian winter. This is funny. I want to say thank you for the emails for Chris and Christy. Not Chris Christie, but Chris and Christy sent separately emailed me. And Chris also gave me some advice when I asked him about it, so that was nice. I want to just double check that Thad got my return to his comment on there, but I found Thad on Twitter, so hopefully I'll be reaching out to Thad. On Facebook, I want to say to Brandy, I want to say out of Lance T, Vesna VK, Julian, Laura, John V to the S, Moscow, Paul, I salute you, Ricardo V, over on Twitter, Lida, Amy, VN Graveyard. VN Graveyard, I apologize on the Periscope because I was like, who? I didn't know it was you. And I said, I didn't know you were a listener giving me a hard time on Periscope. So I thought you were a stranger, but I said, I thought I recognized your name. But anyway, Rebecca, Marcus, Kayla, Kyla, Anna, and Anna. Kayla and Kyla, Anna, Kayla, and Kyla, Anna, and Anna. Scooter can't pronounce nothing. Ooh. Jen, Babs, Bugs, Jake. iTunes reviews. I want to thank everyone for the iTunes reviews. You can review the podcast over at sleepwithmepodcast.com/iTunes. And the new reviews are rolling in. So nice. Marissa T says, bruh. And she says, I put this on. It's night and night. Shouts out to Scoots. Marissa falls asleep so fast she didn't even know the name. That's podcast working at its maximum efficiency. Thank you, Marissa. And Echo 343 listens every night. Thank you. Vesna, who we just thanked over on Facebook, says Z's. And Vesna's finally getting some sleep, so not worrying and listening to podcasts. And then Doomhammer Dodge. That's pretty sweet. Doomhammer Dodge. Does that mean you're dodging Doomhammers? Or you live in Dodge and you have a Doomhammer? Or your name's Doomhammer, you live in Dodge? Or your name's Dodge from Doomhammer? Oh, it's just a Doomhammer. But he's a Doomhammer Dodge. They say the podcast is perfect, best way to fall asleep. Yeah, it's the most powerful hammer I ever had was a dew hammer. Well, yeah, just like hit a little dew drop with my little dew hammer. You know, one of those little tiny hammers, like a ball peen, smaller ball peen hammer. Ball peen, that's a nice word, huh? That's a good podcast for ball peen. Ball peen. It could be dirty, though, you know, but mostly it's just, but what do you do? What's Scooter been up to? Well, ever since, you know, the Digital Millennium Copyright Act banned Knox, you know, they locked down on the Knox, he started hitting do with a ball peen hammer. He calls it his do hammer. So we're keeping an eye on him. But he still does, you know, he still does that podcast. So, you know, he's just banging do with his hammer. All right, so that's it for the thank yous. Thanks for support. All right, let's keep going. All right, so we're back. It's time for another Trending Twitter Tuesday here. And it's actually Tuesday, believe it or not. I think it's the 29th. It's almost 8 p.m. And I'm going to try something different. I got a different Twitter app here to see if I can get a list off of it. Analytics. No, that's not it. Okay, yeah, we can do a trending list here. Oh, boy. So I'm going to take a picture of this list right now. Well, do I know how to take a screenshot with this phone? Okay, so we have a screenshot. I think we have 10 trends there, and it's just a list, which is like what I like. I just want a list. And I was retelling, I was catching you guys up on what had happened to me recently, which was weird. You know, abnormal, well, maybe just more abnormal. And then you'd say, well, geez, what is it when it's abnormal for an abnormal person? You know, because I guess I was already being abnormal. Me and my dog were listening to knocks that were flown in from Cologne, Germany. Well, maybe not. Maybe they came by ship from Cologne. And we were just listening to the knocks, and there was a knock at my door. My piano teacher from the past was there, flew on a piano, met up with Drake and Super Dave Osborne, eventually separated from them, ran into Mumble Bear. That Mumble Bear. Well, I think the three of them, I'm not sure if it was like my Tin Man, my Lion, and my Scarecrow, or if it was a Lollipop Guild. I still can't get an answer on that. And then I guess if Judy Garland, she would probably say, well, I'm not just, and she did it when we were private, and I shouldn't be sharing this. This is totally off of the story. But she did, you know, I said, geez, I don't know what it is. I don't think it's a talent, but I don't necessarily think it's 100% of a problem, but people like to cry. I make people cry, but they also feel comfortable enough to cry with me, usually on me. And I'd say only 80% of the time is it from my behavior. Maybe not, maybe 84. So the other 16% of the time, I'm just there. But this time it was Judy Garland was crying, and my piano teacher. Because I say every time, this was like, you know, last week I kind of, you know, believe it or not, I what do they call those Reader's Digest things where you squeeze out a bridge? You know, I give an abridged version or abridged version. Oh, unabridged. So I guess I abridged, but she, you know. Every time she started talking about something, I said, like in The Wizard of Oz. And then finally she said, can I talk to you in private? Because she was queen. I think. I'm confused. But anyway, and then she's like, I'm more than The Wizard of Oz. And unfortunately, I said, well, she's not to me. I mean, just being honest, I didn't say that then. I thought, and I'm pretty sure she's, you know, ethereal enough she could read my mind, to cry more. And I can see in the earthy world how that would wear on you. But now that she's in some sort of afterlife, and I didn't want to tell her this. I'm like, is this some sort of limbo situation? Or is this what I'm looking? I mean, at one point I said, is Beetlejuice around here? Where do I find Beetlejuice? Beetlejuice. Beetlejuice. Nothing. It's Mumble missing Beetlejuice. And I said, I understood you. But anyway, way off track, way too early. So so Judy Garland, I was flown to see Judy Garland. I thought it was to apologize. It turned out she had a quest for me. She said, I need it. There's a Thedo, some sort of evil character, villain, I guess, in this story. And then, but always then I say, well, am I the villain in this story? Hurting the feelings of piano teachers and beloved actresses. And then people say, no, you're just the asshole. That's different than the villain. And I would say the villain is the asshole. And they would say, isn't that the piece of erotic fiction you wrote that was rejected as erotic and as fiction? And I would say, you're right. And I would say that person, and they said, well, actually, it was a committee. That committee was a bunch of villainous assholes. Pardon me for the swearing. I don't know what came over me. I'm just acting like a villainous asshole. Oh, boy. Cracking myself up here on the podcast. But so Judy sent me, Miss Garland sent me on a quest to find her. I guess apparently this Thedo loves Halloween, loves masquerade balls. And somehow I think bet his kingdom on the fact that if he, you know, anyone could best him. I think it was kind of like, you ever see Glenn Ross? I guess it was exactly like that. Now I think about it, Glenn Ross. The movie, you want to talk about a powerful Alec Baldwin performance for 8 minutes or something? He's on the screen for 8 to 14 minutes. Holy God, holy moly. But he's the manager. He comes into the sales office and, you know, stellar cast of actors there. But I mean, Alec Baldwin just stood out to me. But you had Jack Lemmon, Ed Harris. I love Ed Harris. I love Jack Lemmon. And then you had Al Pacino. And then I think you had Alan Arkin was the fourth person. I'm sorry, I don't know who the fourth person was. I want to say it's Alan Arkin, but I'm not positive about that. But some powerhouses. And man, now I'm going to have to apologize if that wasn't Alan Arkin. I'm pretty sure it was, though. You had Harris, was the everyman. Jack Lemmon was the, you know, the down-and-out older guy. Pacino was the slick guy. And then, I don't know. I apologize. But anyway, where was I? So this, just like in Glengarry Glenn Ross, the plot was, there's a sales contest. First place, I think you get a car or a watch or something. Second place is you might get some good leads, and then third place is you're fired. And there was four guys, so obviously fourth place. And I think that's how this Halloween costume worked, was that, first place Thedo always gets. Second place, you're okay. Third place is you're out of the universe. So Judy Garland said, we have to beat Thedo. And I said, well, this is actually great timing, Miss Garland. This is when after she stopped crying when we were alone. They said, because I like to have themed Halloween. And she said, I know. And I said, oh, well, this is going to be great because this is going to get us right through Halloween, I think. So she sent me on a quest to furnish her and I guess some of the other kingdoms, the leaders of these other kingdoms who happen to be actresses I've insulted in the past. Halloween proper. I don't have to do any of the making. I guess I'm the idea man. And again, I think maybe there was some telephone translation where what she heard my skill set was. Or I guess she was looking for somebody that thinks outside. She said, "Geez, you think outside of the sphere. You're not even in a box or a sphere. You think outside of the norm." And I said, "Yeah, okay." So that was the story. That's the deal. So as we pick up the action, those of you hanging on every breath, what's going to happen next? Here we go. All right. So ostensibly, we start off tonight with myself, Drake, Super Dave Osborne, who again turns out is a character. again embarrass myself, and I that's not essential to the story right now. And Mumble Bear, who, as far as I know, is not a, you know, is for, if is a mumbling bear, part human, part imaginary, all mumbles as a mumble bear. But some giant eagles had arrived to fly us off into, I think, to Joan Crow. And I said, oh boy. Unfortunately, my memory is terrible. So I said, we're going to, I said, like me, I got to pick, and I just said, okay, let's go with the, because they said Julie Andrews should probably be easy. And then I'll be honest, it took me forever to think of Joan Crow. And I said, did I say Kathleen Hepburn? Do I have to apologize to her too? Oh boy. And I said, but I know it's Joan Crawford as our first stop, boys. And I said, please don't let her be, because I had seen that movie. But I said, okay, well, obviously, if you were listening to this story, these stories so far, you say, well, Scooter seems like a terrible person. How could you fall asleep to him? And people say, at least my boyfriend, he puts me to sleep. I don't, you know. So maybe Joan Crawford is the victim of a similar circumstance. Plus, this is a different circumstance altogether. Because I don't know what world we're in, some world, cloud-based world, but afterlife, I don't know, because I'm still alive. Clearly, I'm here. I don't think you can record a podcast if you're a spirit. Well, probably not. You probably can. Well, you'd probably be interesting. I don't think if a spirit's going to take their time. Well, maybe not, because if they were, if you're eternity, you could talk forever. You know, you could just be like, yeah, I mean, this is a scooter spirit, you know, loading up the pie. I guess your battery life would be an issue, probably. Maybe. I don't know, maybe not. Maybe not. But anyway, I got off track there thinking about, maybe this is it. I'm just doing this podcast, but I got stuff going on in between. So I'm pretty sure I'm not a spirit is the thing. But we got on these eagles. Now, a couple of things about the eagles. They landed and there was only two of them. And I waited. Because I said, you know, I want my own. Clearly, I want, if I'm going to ride an eagle without a piano, I want my own eagle. And then I looked around, and then Mumble Bear got on the eagle with Dave, Super Dave Osborne. And then I said, well, great, I'm riding with Drake here. And then I said, okay, come on, Scooter. We're on a positive mission of Halloween. Masquerade your negative feelings for Drake. And I said, well, actually, I don't have negative feelings for Drake. I just don't know him. And I think that was that old cheerleading brain came in and said, hey, buddy, pull it together here. And what do you call it? And then Drake actually so gentlemanly said, you know, gave me the front spot, which I said, wow, that must have taken a lot. And then we got on, and I said, who would feud with you, Drake? And I said, yeah, maybe I should get to know Drake a little bit better. Now, we learn this the hard way. If you're floating with four eagles carrying a grand piano, plenty of conversations can be had. On one eagle, not the best to get to know Drake, because it was like I was Mumble Bear. Because I would say, so Drake, you know, tell me more about, is it, you know, I know this is probably a joke. I said, you're Canadian, right? And I think he must have heard Mumble, but is he Meridian? Because he said, radium? He said, what are you, a chemistry professor? And I said, and then I said, wait a second, that whole radium stuff was in Buffalo. And then there was a couple more mix-ups like that. And I think I said something about, which I love maple syrup and maple candy. But I don't know what he thought I said about maple syrup. But he said, "Do you need me to throw you off this eagle? Is it going to be a maple feud?" And maybe he was just giving me a hard time because I said, "Geez," and I said, "Would that stop a feud? A little maple syrup candy?" But I think he said, I think then even then he heard, like, put maple syrup in your fan, or put maple syrup, I don't know, something about fanny. But luckily, the poofy wings of an eagle, a giant eagle with the moon in the sky, can even calm a feuding drake, you know, and whatever, you know, set back his furious love of Canada. And, you know, and I said, "Geez, Paul Schaefer would be so proud of you." And we just happened to be in a lull, and he heard that so clearly. And the moon I think it moonified my tones. And that was it, me and Drake, his eyes. I think he really looks up to Paul Schaefer, as do I. You know, for me, his comedy and his love of Dave. For Drake, I think that he's Canadian. And I said, "I don't know if Drake's from Thunder Bay. I know that's where Paul's from, Thunder Bay, Ontario." But anyway, not important. So we fly in these eagles. It was a whole, like, hours of that. And then we're sleeping. And Drake drooled on my back. Now, I don't know if there's any hardcore Drake fans out there. But he made me give him the shirt anyway. He said, "You know, I need that shirt because I drooled on it." And I said, "You're a little drool annoyed, aren't you?" And he said, "You bet." He goes, and I said, "Okay, I don't need to feud with you about any of this." Maybe that didn't happen. That might have been in my imagination. I mean, the drooling part happened. But maybe I just lost my shirt. I don't know. But so we flew across the sky. And I said, "Drake, do you know where we're going, by the way? You know, now that we're not feuding?" And he said, "Yeah, we're going deep into the hollows of Afenza Abre." And I said, "Afenza Abre, eh?" And he said, he chuckled. And I said, "Okay, now I got him. Schaefer Abre'd him." And I said, "Have you ever ventured out here?" And he goes, "No, normally I'm in the human world." And I said, "Oh, did you offend Judy Garland too?" And he said, "No, Crawford." And he said, "I'm really nervous. That's why I'm so feudy." And I said, "What, did you make up a song about it?" He goes, "An unreleased track, you know, deleted everywhere." But he goes, "You can't, you know, can't stop leaks to the afterlife or wherever the heck we are." And I said, "So, but you're my sidekick in this." He said, "Are you the Tin Man?" And Drake's pretty funny. He said, "I'm the Walrus." And I said, "Scoop, scoop, scoop, Scooby-Doo." And I said, "This is good, Drake. We're thinking costumes." And he said, "Wait till we meet Crawford and, you know, see if I make it." And I said, "Okay." And so we landed on this island with these towering towers. And they were all bell towers. And I said, "That's strange." About 25 bell towers of varying heights, looking like whichever the ones they like, not stalactites or stalagmites, whichever one grows up from the ground, towering up. Well, I can't say they were man-made, but some of them were equal. Like, they weren't, I guess they were nothing like stalactites. I just couldn't think anything else. Other bell towers. So probably, I said, 20, 30 bell towers. And as we circled the island, the bell towers all started to ring. And it was like my insides felt like, you know, Jell-O jigglers. You know when you shake the Jell-O jigglers, like a bowl of them? That's how I felt, like even my cheeks, and then my teeth started aching. And I think the eagle even said, "This is a safe zone right out here." And we were circling and circling. And I said, "Is that some sort of bell-based defense system? And the eagle said, yeah, it is." He goes, "You aren't a total idiot." And Drake said, "It was obvious." He goes, "It was obvious." And I said, okay. No credit from Drake. Giant eagle, though, gave me credit, Drake. So you can't feud with facts. And Drake said, can't feud with facts. But it was beautiful, despite the vibrations. I love bell towers. Now, just random bell ringing, defensive. So I said, they circled, and then there was silence, and then the two eagles caught, like some sort of caw code. I don't know, the eagles caw, but, you know, a raptor-type situation. I don't want to do it on the podcast, but it was like a... in some sort of, you know, Morse code, but, you know, obviously not Morse. Is it Morse or Morse? Morse code, right? Morse. But they sent us the eagle-based Morse code, and then we flew. And I got to tell you, if I saw it flying on a freaking piano, it was great. These eagles, I felt like, who the hell's the guy in Top Gun? Look, Drake was my goose. I think I did say that to him. I don't think it was so loud. I don't know. I can tell if he was in it. He must have said, oh, maybe he thought I said, hold on to my caboose. Because he really needed to in that situation. So that was actually a miscommunication. That was good. Oh, Maverick thought of it too late. But we were flying through the bell towers. Oh, man. And I said, this is great because it's getting my adrenaline up to deal with Crawford. And I said, she's going to be hard to talk to without calling her Crawford because that's such a zinger. Like, and I know someone who's, I know a Crawford, a Jay Crawford, but he's more of an acquaintance. Like, he's good friends with some of my friends, but I don't know him well enough to, well, I guess I probably have called him Crawford before. But I said, especially Crawford. But I guess this was a situation where I was supposed to be helping. But so we circled and we flew through the towers. And I said, was she in the, for whom the bell tolls? And then no one answered, you know, there was no answer between, oh, no, wait, Mumble Bear said his name. You know, was it? And he said, was that about Thomas Merton or Thomas More or Thomas Aquinas or... the Thomas that, you know, didn't believe in the wounds or what the wound toucher. And Mumble Bear was in a, and I said, Mumble Bear, you weren't mumbling. That was just irritation. And then we landed in this square. And again, it was like, kind of like a stormy, where you're like, geez, what time, I can't tell what time of day it is. And I don't want to be, I say, Jesus, exactly where I'd expect to run into, you know, Joan Crawford, no offense. And I said, maybe, I said, okay. And then we got off the Eagles. I said, thanks, guys. And they said, well, you know, we'll, somebody else is coming back for you. And I said, okay. I said, see ya. I said, hey, guys, gather around. Drake, Mumble Bear. Super Dave. He said, listen, I'm going to need you guys' help here. I'm a little bit worried about Joan Crawford. Drake's freaked out. And Drake's, I'm not freaked out. I said, don't worry, Drake. I'll take the heat. I said I could even go as Drake's scooter. And I said, you could just be my sidekick. He said, really? You'd cover up for me? And I say, oh, yeah. And then he took off this necklace that said Drake, and he gave it to me. And I said, well, you wear a necklace that says, okay. And he said, I'm saving it for someone special. And I said, that's so cute, Drake. And I put it on and I said, well, you found someone special. And you should, that joke killed with Super Dave Osborne. And maybe Mumble Bear said, but somebody hit me. But Super Dave, that cracked him up. And I wore it on the side of my shirt. But then I realized the irony. But anyway, I said, well, whatever, I mean, you know, I'm Drake now. Drake is Scooter. I'm about to break it. And I said, well, I said, I don't even know what she knows. And then Drake said, who am I? I said, Steno Garcia, my master at arms, my grandmaster at arms, full of charms. And Drake said, I'm the wordsmith. And I said, not anymore. Who's got the Drake necklace now, buddy? And I said, also, does this come with all your money and stuff and fame? And he said, no. And he goes, as a matter of fact, he goes, I'll need that back later. And I said, that's fine. I said, you know, ain't not that thing if I don't anymore have Drake's bling. doo-wop, doo-wop, doo-wop. But I said, Steno, Super Dave, Mumble Bear, let's go. And then I said, oh, she's where? Because we're in this giant plaza, as I said. And they said, hello? And it echoed, oh my goodness, if you haven't been in a strange world and yelled out really loud, do it. Like if you ever get the chance to go into it or you're lucid dreaming, yell out for Echo, because it was echoing off the bell towers. It was coming back to me with a little hello, hello. But then all of a sudden I saw something in the sky, like this black mass, and I thought it was the helicarrier from Avenger, you know, that, and they said, what in the name of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is that? And then Mumble Bear, because I don't know if bears have better eyesight or just better insight, but he said, and I said, what? He says, and I said, I'm sorry, what? He said, and I said, Mumble Bear, even with you, he said, are you shaking up from that eagle ride? Did Dave Osborne hold you too tight? And then I wanted to sing, hold me closely, Super Dave Osborne. Your show was on about 20 years. Anyway, I shouldn't have started singing that, but I did. But what was my point? It was these ravens, because they realized it once they could see it, because they could not freaking understand Mumble Bear. And I said, run. And I let those guys get a head start. I don't know why. I guess because I was transfixed, not out of heroism. And then I caught up behind him because I said, geez, that's it. Figured, like I said, no. I said, Drake's famous, Super Dave's. And I said, so I caught up to them. And they said, Drake, what do we do? And that was confusing for me because they were talking to me. And I guess they were already in the Crawford mode. And they said, what's the plan? I said, I'm going to have to think one on this. I said, trace to your OC. And they said, what? And I said, I said, trace to your OC. And they said, what does that mean? I said, three times yes, I think. And I said, you three run three different ways and call the ravens over to you and see what they do. And I'm going to keep running straight. And I said, I think they're smart. You know, they're evil ravens, so they'll probably chase me. And they said, well, what will that do? And I said, just do it. So we separated four ways, I guess, technically. But they spread out into this Tyros formation, which is, they said, what is that? I said, a triangle, you know. And I said, you know. And they said, a parallelogram. I said, no, a triangle. And I said, don't give me any friggin' one of those uneven ones. They said, I want a pair, you know, right, but whatever. It wasn't time for that argument. I think that was another feud, me and Drake's triangular. But they did it, and it did confuse the ravens, and it actually worked so good because I think the ravens were flying in a circle above us. I didn't realize this at a time. They were in, like, a drone formation. But then as they started to call the ravens, and the guys were good, man, and Drake was actually singing. Or maybe, he was saying, here. That the ravens, like some of them would hear, and it was echoing, like off of the echoes. And so the ravens were individually, they lost their groupthink. And they were each responding to whatever over here or come here hit their ears. And they started just running into each other in the sky and dropping from the sky and just smashing into each other. And it was a riot. Like they were dropping. And then when, you know, if one it would take another one out, and then they were, you know, it was like the evil spells broke. And after, you know, 10 or 15 minutes, and then I guess listen more echoes. And then we just reconvened, you know, the guys just walked back to me. And then we saw, like, at the top of these steps was this giant glass, like, arboretum-looking building. What do you call those things? A San Francisco conservatory-looking building, you know, white metal, where you'd keep flowers warm. And I said, well, geez, that looks to be lovely and out of place. It was just a little tinted of the dark gray sky, but it was still, like, white, ethereal white. And so we went up the stairs to that. And actually, Super Dave said, nice plan. And that, he said, what do you call it? Three Amigos? And I said, we'll call it that from now on. I said, I forgot, Tres Trigos 3, I think I called it or something, but don't worry about it. And we got to the door of the conservatory, and of course it had one of those speakers that you speak into, and something else said, can I help you? And I said, yeah, I mean, we're here to see, we're here for BGC-14. And they said, the voice said, what? I said, I'm here with BGC-14. And I said, they said, what? And I said, the big grand costuming 14. And they said, it's 2015. And I said, well, we're a year late then. We've got to get on this costuming. And I said, as a matter of fact, I'm here on orders of Miss Garland, so you better let us in. And my name's Drake, and I have an apology to make. So the time I do not want to take, see, I'm a wordsmith, clearly I'm Drake. And I have this necklace, and they buzzed us in. And then we went into this, what do I call it, a conservatory? And it was a pool house. And it was like unnatural sunlight. It was so lovely in there. It was warm. It was humid, but the right humidity. It was like all of a sudden my pores just opened up and took a breath. They said, wow, this is nice. And it was huge. And I said, whoa, Crawford's got a hell of a good thing going. And there was like a old-fashioned Olympic pool. Well, I guess not Olympic because it was rounded. And like, boom, somebody showed up with drinks for the guys. And they said, come with us. And they said, Mr. Drake. And they said, actually, I'm a two-person. They said, I'm a two-man. There's more than two people up here, but I'm a Scooter and Drake. And they said, well, we just need one. And I said, well, can you, as Drake, I said, can you send my apologies via Scooter to, and they said, what? And they said, okay, hold on, I got to do something. I said, I'm going to do my one DLD session. And they said, what? I said, one DLDN session. And I said, I just take off my Drake necklace, put it here on my chair where the guys were sitting. And I said, Super Dave, come with me. And he said, me? I said, yeah, I need your help to costume Crawford. And he said, right away. And I said, Steno, Mumble Bear, I'll see you guys in a little bit. And then we were led to, like, through, oh, it's like orchids. It was like, it was, you know, sexual flowers, you know, non-sexual flowers, just pleasant flowers, everything. And we went up these stairs, this platform that was, like, kind of overlooking the pool, but a little bit detached. And then who's up there in, like, a one-piece bathing suit, white sunglasses, a giant smile on her face. But a woman I could only presume was Joan Crawford, because I said, Jesus, well, that's not. And I said, I guess I remember Faye Dunaway. No, I said, I probably have seen. And I said, okay, get that stuff out of your mind. And I said, Super Dave, do something. I said, and he tickled my armpit, and then I giggled, hoo-hoo-hoo, like that. And then he giggled, which made me laugh, because he's got a great laugh. And then I went over and I plucked a flower. Now, I know that's a risky move. And I said, Miss Crawford, my apologies. I'd like to present with you this rose. I guess broken a bit like a Derrick rose, but always beautiful and full of potential and loveliness, and also red like a bull's uniform. And she looked at me like she was confused, and I said, I don't know, I just love Derrick Rose. And I said, this bambino over here, my little bambino, and Super Dave's taller than me, so that's kind of, I was still trying to carry the humor. This is Mr. Super Dave Osborne, and he's my assistant costumer here, that's why I call him my little bambino. And I said, Miss Crawford, I apologize on behalf of the Drake version of myself. You know, that song I wrote about you was, you know, really based on, you know, and she says, another life. I understand. I, you know, She goes, you don't have to apologize. And she said, we're in this world, let's stay in the present. She goes, because we need to deal with Zeta and I need to help Miss Garland. And I said, wow, really? And I said, you got a lovely setup here, by the way. I said, what do you call this place? And she said, Sambuesa. And I said, Sambuesa, is that a made up? That's beautiful, Sambuesa. I said, that is a lovely word, Sambuesa. And I said, that sounds like a dance. And I started dancing with her. And again, part of my mind said, what are you doing dancing with Joan Crawford? And then another part of my brain kind of detached itself and tried to look out of the side of my eyes to see if her face. But I said, everything, she had sunglasses, she had a wrap around her head. But her hair was still, and then I said, we're doing a little Sambuesa, and then we were doing a little Sambuesa, and then I passed her off to Super Dave, and then her staff was like cheering and clapping. And I said, there's the old ways of costuming superstar, lovely superstars. And then Dave would hand her off to me. And I said, and then there's my way. And she said, well, do you bring, and I said, no, I said, all your costumes are going to be dealt with by Miss Garland. I said, I'm the idea man. And I said, we got to think of a great costume for you. And I said, the costume dance is our chance to costume Joan. Oh, Joan, baby, do the costume dance. Do the costume dance. Oh, Joanie Crawford. Do the costume dance. Watch you do the costume dance. And then I was kind of watching her dance. Watch you do the costume dance. And I said, Joni. And I said, no, that's not going to win it. And I said, and she said, who? And I said, from Happy Days. And then she said, what's, and I said, I shouldn't be saying Happy Days to Joan Crawford. Oh, Joni, baby. I do the dance, the costume dance. You do the costume dance. Super Dave and Joan Crawford. And I said, okay, Super Dave assistant, no. Watch you do the dance. And then we're just dancing. And the next thing you know, and I said, geez, we are in a magic. Because then a band busts out, and they were doing kind of a salsa, mambo. Like they had congas, they had maracas. They had castanets. I think they had a classical guitar. And then I said, it would be nice to do a little steel drum on this. Bam, bop, it, eight, oh, and Lyle is 8-0. And that didn't. Joan Crawford was like, no. And I said, Lyle Crocodile, Joan Crawford, we need to get her a costume. And I said, Joan likes a pool party. He's a pool party. And I said, lifeguard, no. And I said, Beach Boys, no. We need a costume for Joan. We need a costume for Joan. I said, hey, Dave, what's the lady? I said, the lady with the tropical fruit in her hair without insulting her. I'm just wondering because it's in a song. And then he moved away from me, and I said, okay. So I said, Bird, I said, I don't know why I saw the movie Birdcage. And I was thinking of other movies with my, and I was starting to think of Cuba. And I said, Joan, baby. I said, boom. And I said, boom, Fidel Castro, Joan. And she stared at me for a while. And then she stared at Super Dave Osborne, and everything froze. And she said, explain it to me. And I said, who the hell would dress Joan Crawford as Fidel Castro? I said, but this is going to be so spot on that Thedo is going to say, there's something off about that Fidel. That's Fidel Castro almost. Okay, I'm detecting something feminine in Fidel's. Is that fucking Joan Crawford? Dressed as Fidel, exactly looking like, holy shit, second place or first place. And I said, Joan, I said, we're Fidel Castro. Ooh, thank you, costume dance. We got a costume for Joan. She's going to be Fidel Castro. And then she's still staring, and her staff, and the band, and Super Dave. And then I went over and I tucked some of her hair under her wrap. And I said, now, you know, crazy idea, we could shave your head and use your own hair as your beard. I don't know how stuff works in the afterlife. And then she put her arm around me. And she clapped her hands. And then someone came with a cigar and she put it in her mouth. And she said, brilliant. And I said, well, I wouldn't say brilliant. I'd say abnormal. That's an abnormal costume. I said, it's going to kill. And I said, you know, you could be one of Charlie's angels, in my opinion, at least in the afterlife version of you. And you'd be dressed as Fidel Castro. And she said, I hope there's some people I know at this party. And I said, well, we just got to beat this Theta. And I said, he's never going to see this coming. And she's like, you're right about that. And she said, well, she goes, well, I feel like it needs a little bit more. And I said, I know. And I said, I've got a little something for you. And I said, it stinks it's a little gimmicky, Joan. And a little bit hilarious. And I said, look at this guy here. Look at this statuesque beauty here, my little Super Dave. And I go, you think about Fidel. And for some reason, I think about JFK. And then when I think about JFK, I think about, and she said, Marilyn Monroe. And I said, you're going to show up with Marilyn Monroe Osborne on your arm. And Super Dave, at first, he tried to resist, but he started cracking up. He's like, that's so stupid. It's stupid. He goes, it's so stupid, it's abnormal. And I said, I think he even said that. And then the band started playing, do the costume dance. Watch us do the costume dance. And so that was it. I said, my work here is done. I said, I'm going to go down to the pool and swim. I said, Joan, I am the biggest swimmer in the world. I love water. I said, you mind if we stay over at night and swim and stuff? And she said, go down there and have some fun. You know, I'm going to shave Marilyn. And, you know, then maybe we'll meet you for dinner and stuff. But then I went down to the pool. And Drake and Mumbleberry, they were in the hot tub just talking. I think they were smithing some words, like doing some sort of mumble. I said, I don't know, is that hardcore mumblecore they're doing? But I couldn't hear because of the jets, and I was swimming. And then it was so warm in there that I got into one of these chairs. And because it wasn't sun, I didn't have to worry about getting sunburn. But it was just like being in the warm, humid sun. But there was like a smell of cedar wood. And there was even like a scent, because I guess maybe the glass is so thin, there was like the bells were ringing or something. And it was just so pleasant. And I sunk into the chair. I drifted off in this wonderful deep sleep. My muscles were relaxed. And it was just great. And then I fell deep asleep. And I fell deep asleep only to await our next quest next week for another costuming on Trending Tuesday, Costume Moose Days. Good night.